Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, let's see. Push the button. Jeff Quattromani is on the line. Hello, Jeff Quattromani. How are you?
I'm really well. Good to speak to you.
Likewise. Just a quick tennis update. It's now 5-all in the third set. And Kyrgios, he lost 6 points in a row from the last game to this game. So he was really down on his luck and had to bring out two fantastic big serves to get back into this game. So it's 5-all, and Khachanov is serving. I'm just doing this this Kyrgios Khachanov game, and because Kyrgios is it's a very, very evenly matched game. Are you watching it? Are you a tennis person?
I'm not watching. If it was in the evening, I may catch it, but not during the day.
It is in New York. What are we? We're now 1:15. It is 11:15 p.m. on Tuesday night in New York.
Okay,
let's talk stuff. When's Apple's get together, their little marketing do?
Tomorrow morning.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Join me. Let's watch the Apple event together.
Ah, dear. Gone are the days of queuing outside Apple. Do people still queue outside Apple stores to get their new products, or is that a thing of the past?
They do, but it would only be hours before opening. It used to be days before opening day. So now you'll see people get there early because they still want to be the first person, but no one's waiting for a week anymore.
Have you ever done it yourself?
No, because I'm not silly.
Well, I put my hand up. I'm silly. I did it once.
You did not.
Yeah, I did. I truly did. I queued up. I got there at about 2:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and I waited. I was number 3 in line.
I really liked you.
It was one of those things. I didn't want to die not doing it. You know what I mean? I'll never do it again, but hey, I've done it. It was fun. It was really fun. Yeah. And the guy that was number 1 in line, he was an app designer, right?
Right.
And whilst we were in line, at about 7 a.m. in the morning, he got word through that one of his apps that he had designed had just been picked up by Apple.
Oh, right.
So he'd got word as we were there in line that, you know, one of his apps that he designed had been picked up by Apple. They approved it on the app on the Apple store. We're going back years ago now.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Anyway, silly me. It was a bit of fun. It was.
Why not?
Speaking of Apple, the use of Apple AirDrop nearly prevented a flight from leaving the tarmac and has exposed a problem many aren't aware of. Tell us more about this.
So, look, this is a good feature, but it can be mistreated in this example. It's called Apple AirDrop, and anybody who has an iPhone or an iPad or even a Mac can use AirDrop to easily send images to one another. So you don't have to even know their phone number. They just need to be nearby. So AirDrop allows you to do that, but by default, most people have AirDrop enabled to accept requests from anybody, whether they're in your contacts or not. So this gentleman on a plane before taking off decided to send a nude picture to everyone around him using the AirDrop feature. Now, if you're the pilot of the plane and you're about to take off and you get this notification on your phone, you may get a little bit upset, especially as other passengers start to complain as well. So it's a drama.
That's funny. Is it Lenovo? Lenovo's unveiled a new laptop, mate. It's made entirely of a foldable display and cinematic glasses. It's coming to Australia in the near future. Will it be expensive?
Yeah, look, the foldable laptop will, and it's kind of silly to say foldable laptop since they all do that already, but this is a display that goes all inside this model. So it'll cost around $3,000 when it does get announced or released in Australia. But it is that sort of device that can be a large tablet, it can be a computer, or you can even have it propped up like a second screen as well. So it is a versatile unit. Maybe if you travel a lot and you want that all-in-one device, it'd be perfect.
Sometimes I think manufacturers just take a product too far. For me, here's an example. LG wants to make a refrigerator part of the Disco with doors that you can illuminate and use as speakers. What?
Yeah, look, I always thought that a stainless steel fridge was pretty fancy, but turns out LG wants to take it one step further. LED panels will be available to go onto their new range of fridges, and that means your fridge could be blue, the freezer section could be red, you choose the colours, and it can synchronise to the sound music because it has a built-in speaker as well, so you can play your tunes on your fridge.
As I said, I think sometimes people just take things too far. Manufacturers take things too far. Fridge is to keep your drinks cold, your food cold, ice cream frozen, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the technology of, you know, if you're low on something, the fridge will say to you, you need butter or you need to buy this or you need to buy that. That's not a silly thing
True.
For a fridge with technology. Okay, sneaker lovers are going to be excited by the latest innovation from LG, which takes shoe care to the next level. What's this all about?
Yeah, this is called the Shoe Case, and it's a appliance that you'll be able to put your shoes into, and it will sanitize and remove any odors from your shoes, but it also has a nice little turntable and some lights to put your best pair on display as well. So if you're very proud of your shoes and you want everyone to see them, you could now have a case for them. But the shoe care part is interesting, maybe for football boots or something else.
Does it polish the shoes? Will it take the scuffs out and all those sort of things?
That would be the best feature if it did. No, unfortunately, it's all hands off. It's all sanitizing and removing odors. I wish it was actually to buff out my R.M. Williams boots or something like that. That'd be nice.
I don't mind the old sanitizing, but it's a cheaper way to do it is as you take your shoes off, you just spray it with Glen 20 or something like that.
Yeah, it is that simple, but there's always a tech solution to take it further, right?
But you're going to pay for it.
You do, big time too.
Cruise ships are about to have fast internet access wherever you're sailing, thanks to a new partnership with Starlink. I was wondering, you know, how long it was going to be before this happens. Mm. Of course, Starlink, you can have a caravan with a connection, a mobile connection to Starlink, so of course you can have it on a ship.
Yeah, and I'm almost sad about this, to be honest. I love cruising. It's one of the best ways that I enjoy getting away and getting disconnected from the world. But when they put Starlink on boats, that really means that you'll have high-speed internet. I could be streaming Netflix on a cruise, for example, and it also means I could be working, which is a big problem. Take the connectivity away from me, though. I'd much prefer it.
I just would have thought, never being on a cruise, not being a cruise person, I would have thought that that was something that was axiomatic that they would have supplied, and you would have, you know, internet on the cruise ship by way of satellite or something like that. And now it's going to happen.
Yeah, so they've always had satellite internet, but it's terribly slow, so no one uses it. And that's one of the best deterrents for it, is you won't use it because it's terrible. But now, being high speed, and the cost will also be lower as well, it's going to be more for the many.
Can I ask you, is it going to get to the stage, you think, where, I mean, how many more satellites is Musk going to put up there? And, you know, when do you think it's going to get to the stage where the speeds that are delivered start to slow down because there's so many people using the service?
It's a good question, and one of the things he has mentioned, he's about a quarter of the way through launching satellites. So he wants to get to around 17,000 satellites to cover the entire planet from any location to get high-speed internet. But when you do that, it means that per satellite, your numbers will start to reduce. So the more satellites you have, the less capacity you would have to worry about. But they're saying that over 100 megabits should be the norm on their service, despite how many satellites they have. So that's their hope.
Okay, I've got a listener question I have. Harry says, hi, Brent, quick question for Jeff, please, mate. Jeff, what's the best drone for Harry to buy under $1,000? The best drone for Harry to buy?
Under $1,000, it gets a bit tight. However, I would still look at DJI. DJI probably make the best drones almost at any price range at the moment, but you might find a couple like the drone, the DJI Mini, that may be under $1,000, and that takes great photos, flies for at least half an hour, and at a good distance as well. So it's one of the ones that I use regularly.
Okay, there you go, Harry. DJI, and do they still do updates on the phone? So you put a Harry with the DJI. What you do is you have an app that you download on your smartphone, and you use your smartphone as the screen. I suppose is that the same for most drones, Jeff?
For most of them, the real high end ones have their own built in screen on the remote control, but most of them just you plug your smartphone in as the display.
Has there been a lot of technology advancements over the last couple of years in drone technology, or have you found that the prices of the drones have come down rather than the technology amp up?
It's a little bit of both. Prices are definitely coming down, but we're starting to see hovering above you to take photos down, they're putting cameras in front of them and you fly them almost like an aeroplane. And that footage is almost, it makes you feel a bit ill to watch sometimes, but when starting to see drone racing becoming a thing, and that's where that technology is starting to move at the moment.
Are we going to, is there a drone that actually records audio at the moment?
They can record audio, but because of the noise of the propellers, it's terrible.
Of course.
It's almost unusable most of the time, but who knows? If we get to the point where you stop the rudders, release a parachute, maybe get some silence up there.
You know, it's funny. You watch a movie and you see what are pretty obvious, you know, drone shots, and you think in days gone by, that shot that was just so easy to capture and looked so good. I mean, imagine the setup that would have had to have happened to get the same sort of shot. In fact, you probably wouldn't have been able to get the quality of shot with old technology that you can these days with a drone, and it's just quick and cheap.
That's completely true. I mean, they used to have to take a helicopter with a cameraman. That was the way to do it.
Yeah.
And now you can, I do it all the time when there's floods because our paddock will flood straight away. So I always take our drone up. I easily can see everything I need to, and I usually then send that to, you know, Channel 9 or Channel 10 to use in their news bulletins, because that's how easy it is to become a little journalist these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Jeff, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you, mate. We'll look forward to chatting with you next Wednesday.
Pleasure. Look forward to it.
See you, mate.